How's everybody doing?
I almost said happy Friday. I think it's because I was wishing it was Friday. Happy Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
Exactly. They're all good days. Yay.
Yeah. Well, we haven't been on virtual office hours in a minute.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we sort of had to hit the pause button last week because it was really a busy, busy week for Board of County Commission meeting. And then right behind it for the next part of the week was all budget meetings.
Right. So our calendar has been super busy. Let's start off with your calendar. So what we heard about some sunshine meeting, what's all that about?
Well, so just to be able to explain a little bit about what that the sunshine meetings are and what people, when they talk about meeting in the sunshine and local government, it's really, I think, an advantage of some of, you know, I'm very critical of Florida laws. But sunshine laws are really public records and public access laws. Okay. And under Florida law, whenever any elected officials at the local level meet, they have to do it at a notice meeting, an agenda meeting, and the public has to be invited. It's really a great thing in that you don't get the back deal, you know, backroom dealings, or that was the intent. I think probably there are areas of the state where it's still happening. Here, we're really, really careful, and we have a great system of being able to let our agenda development office and administration know if there needs to be a meeting that's noticed and agended. And, you know, last week, we obviously had a BCC day, PAC day, and then the next few days after that were budget full PAC days. But that doesn't stop the intake of constituent calls and emails. And so, of course, you know, this week we've been just back to back to back trying to catch up with all of that business. Somewhere over the last few weeks, and I don't know where, a different commission office, I guess, established that they wanted to try to do a sunshine meeting to talk about some issues that had not been agenda during our regular Board of County Commission meetings. And, you know, long story short, I never got any invitation for that. I didn't have it in my calendar, so I wasn't able to attend because we were actually doing our Vision 2050 update with staff. And from what I heard from residents, the topics that were going to be presented or talked about were of great concern, and there are things that are going to be talked about as a Board of County Commission. So hopefully we'll be able to catch up on whatever was talked about once we get the minutes from that meeting.
Okay.
But just to let people know, it was something that wasn't planned from this office, and I didn't even get an invitation on my calendar. So we have a calendar here that is accessible, obviously, to us, but also other members of department staff can submit requests to be put in the calendar, and then we can confirm or maybe reschedule. So what happens is a lot of times there'll be calendar invites that are waiting. So whenever I heard from one of my residents that they saw that there was going to be a meeting and that I was going to be in attendance, I went right in, you know, to look on the calendar, and there was nothing there. So then I went back and did a search through all the email, and I'm like, okay, this isn't just me, you know, in my Outlook chaos. It was literally just not in there. And so I think it's probably just an oversight in the planning, and that's okay. These are all issues and topics that we're going to have addressed and we'll continue to address, including rent stabilization.
And keep which you guys will
be,
updated.
Yeah, it'll be coming up on Tuesday. I'm continuing to have conversations with people really on both sides of this issue, although I think we're sort of all on one side of the issue.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people in the public think they're on one side or another, but really what everybody wants is for us to be able to provide housing for our residents. And I mean us as in our community, not us as in government. And so, you know, I talk to people who are concerned about rent stabilization measures and what they're going to do to our economy or what they're going to do to the market. I think ultimately their goal is to make sure that nothing stops that process. Okay. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. We need more inventory. And so making sure that we're inviting the experts to that conversation and figuring out how to get more inventory is going to be critical.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah, it's all very important stuff. So
okay, so busy week last week. So let's start from BCC and then go into budget. Oh,
yes.
Okay, so was there anything that struck you as important at the BCC that you would want D1 to know about?
I am waiting for a BCC where I say, no, that was boring. Actually, it might be boring for you. It was not boring for me because I think one of the things that I really appreciated was that we got public comment that didn't necessarily address things that were happening on that day. It was public comment in general regarding our county charter amendments, and specifically the Right to Clean Water Charter Amendment and the Protection of Split Oak Charter Amendment. And the public comment really was, why isn't the county defending these? Why isn't the county doing what the voters asked? And what happened from there was that it actually evolved into a conversation. The mayor made a comment that it would be coming back to the, at least the Split Oak decision would be coming back to the Board of County Commission. And at that point, he asked the county attorney to comment. The county attorney said, it is coming back to the county commission. I've made no secret of that. To which I tried to respond. Actually, there was a lot of information coming from the administration that Osceola County was taking the lead. And in fact, there was a press release that Osceola County was going to be taking the lead. It led to an Orlando Sentinel story. It led to some other news stories. So having confirmation that Orange County is still going to be part of this conversation is huge. And for people that don't understand why that's important, I want to be really clear about it. I understand that the roadway is going to be on the map, cutting through what is considered the Osceola County portion of Split Oak. The part that's really critical for the understanding of our taxpayers and our constituents, our residents, is that the Split Oak Wildlife Mitigation Area was an investment that was made by Orange County and Osceola County as a whole. And so just to give you an analogy, when two people as a married couple buy a house, you may have your own room at the house. You may have your own closet at the house, but anything that you do to dispose of that property or change the legal status of that property requires both of you. And your spouse can't light his side of the closet or her side of the closet on fire and then say, well, but it was on my side. And so Split Oak Forest was an investment by two counties and with the participation of the Florida Wildlife Commission and through a grant of the state of Florida's Florida Community Trust. And that project is its own legal entity. And so the agreement actually very specifically calls for agreement by all parties in order to modify the protections. So I will continue to remind anybody that will listen to me that those protections are meaningful. It was an investment by all of us as taxpayers and conservation lands that are purchased and paid for. And then, you know, we continue to pay for maintenance for all these years. That if we're going to give that up, if we're going to sacrifice that, it better be for a good reason. And a toll road isn't. So, you know, we're going to continue to have that conversation. I believe a promise was made, a promise should be kept. And that's just one of those promises. So that was part of that Board of County Commission meeting in the morning. It was actually a very short conversation. I was told I was out of order, which was really like the first time I think that's ever happened to me. I've always sort of been in order. I don't know. I just felt like if the mayor could chime in and then the county attorney made a statement that there would be some allowance for the discussion. Commissioners as elected representatives to ask a question or make a statement based on the information we've been given, and we were never given that opportunity. So I'm hopeful that we'll continue to see the public engaged on this issue. I understand that not everybody lives near this particular piece of conservation land, but I think it should be important to you because our conservation lands in general are treated differently once these decisions happen. You know, if a linear facility, which is the way they're trying to get this approval done, is allowed for a toll road. And a linear facility was really put into place for things like a ditch, a pipe, or you know, a electrical line, not for a gigantic toll road that's severing 160 acres. But if that becomes a permissible use of that type of removal of conservation protections, nothing's gonna be off limits. That's
like nothing would be
roads to ruin is what I, you know, I can visualize. And I think there's just got to be places that we're not, you know, toll paving over and putting in toll roads.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I hope you guys got the analogy with the married couple. I think that was a really good analogy.
I mean, I just think it's interesting that we have people, even, you know, really people who work in government who say, well, that's on the Osceola County side, so we're letting them take the lead. And
but we are, you know,
actually the people in Horizon West are going to get this because this is a very interesting analogy and it's going to lead me to parallel and it's going to lead me to more good news. So in our agenda for next week and in our budget, which came the next 2 days, we're all squared away with the Horizon West Library. So the library is now under contract for lease and design is taking place. So we're really excited. Horizon West is getting that library. The reason why there was some difficulty getting approval for the lease is that the property out there is co-owned mm-hmm. by Orlando mm-hmm. and Orange County. It was an investment made for the Conserve 2 project, and that was considered sort of a utility project, but they own a surplus amount of property. Right. And because Orlando in the Orange County, City of Orlando as an entity mm-hmm. and Orange County as an entity own it together, they both had to give permission mm-hmm. for anything to happen on it. And that was the holdup. I couldn't walk in there and say, but it's only on Orange County mm-hmm. land. Look at the map. It's here in Orange County. Orlando shouldn't have anything to say about this. They shouldn't have any regulatory ability. Well, I couldn't do that. You know why? Because Orlando owned it halfway, 50%.
Right.
And so it required both those parties. And that's how those type of agreements work, is that parties to an agreement have to jointly make decisions about disposal of whatever that investment is.
Right.
So, you know, and I just want to make sure that that when we look at that project and people say, well, that's Osceola, right. there are many instances where we make decisions to partner
right.
for investments, either in utilities or in conservation, mm-hmm. that, you know, it requires all the parties right. to agreement. And you want that. You want your elected leaders to represent agree, you right. in mm-hmm. making decisions about that investment.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for clearing that up. Okay, so now we're on to budget. Okay, so we talked about BCC. BCC was on Tuesday, and then budget followed the next 3 days. So we have a lot to catch you guys up for.
Okay, you're going to kill me, but I do have to backtrack.
Okay, no worries.
Because there was two other things that I wanted to make sure I mentioned about the BCC. One was that we had a work session on septic to sewer. There are working groups right now that are basically looking at different components because the septic tanks in Florida, and I mean across Florida, are a part of the problem in our overall water degradation, mm-hmm. and we know this. So, you know, obviously the other big passionate push during our charter amendment update was the right to clean water. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the spirit of the right to clean water is really any of these efforts and investments mm-hmm. to get the septic tanks out
right.
and or to make sure that the septic tanks are the highest mm-hmm. quality. Our utilities department has done an unbelievable amount of job. They're working very closely with our environmental protection department to really identify different avenues for our septic to sewer mm-hmm. changeover. Now, obviously, the existing septic tanks are, you know, one big topic of conversation, the upgrades and development plans. The one we talked about last Tuesday was very specifically for new development. Mm-hmm. And how are we going to decide in new development plans where we will permit mm-hmm. septic and if we will at all. I lean towards saying we're done with septic, be done with septic, but I know that doesn't always work in new developments that are for a single resident or a single business, but then we can require something they call advanced septic. And what advanced septic does is it operates actually like a little mini water treatment plant. And, you know, if they're installed correctly, and this would be obviously under the supervision of our utilities mm-hmm. and our Environmental Protection Division, it can offer the same protection as being on county water in county sewer. So for places that we may not be able to get sewer link-ups, what are the options? And at the end of the day, and it was a really great discussion, if anyone's interested in going back to watch it, if you're interested in the septic issue mm-hmm. and in the conversion of septic to sewer, this one in particular, we're going to wait right now just for a vulnerability analysis that EPD is doing that will show us exactly the areas very precisely that if we do need to spend more money mm-hmm. to make sure that we're not installing an old septic or, you know, the kind of old fashioned septic, mm-hmm. that we know where that is. Now, District 1, we have beautiful lakes. Mm-hmm. We know how vulnerable they are. It's not going to be any big surprise that when that map comes out that there's going to be many areas around Johns Lake, around Lake Hancock, around Big Sand Lake, and of course the whole Butler chain of lakes. Mm-hmm. I will believe that those are going to be identified as areas that we want to make sure that our, you know, that we can either mm-hmm. Put in the advanced septic mm-hmm. or do a county hookup. So there'll be more coming. We have four different working groups. So the exciting thing is that these different groups of professionals are working on different angles of the transfer because we need to get it done while there's still money available from the state to do these projects. And right now, it's been a priority for the last few years to look at these water quality issues. So we're not going to leave money on the table. If we can get money from the state government, if we can get money from the federal government and get it down here and to Orange County to make sure our water stays clean.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So, did you have any? No, no, no. You're good.
How do you get out really fast? I'm driving real fast.
You're doing good. You're doing good. Okay. Did you want to go to budget now?
Hey, was that it for BCC? I may end up backtracking again. I apologize.
And if so, that's okay.
Or if there was something that you all, if you're watching this and there was something you thought was going to be on the mm-hmm. BCC and we haven't hit on it, please let us know. I love being able to go over those cases. We really analyze everything very closely before mm-hmm. we go into a vote. Mm-hmm. So we can talk about any of them, but going on to budget, I think, is a good idea because there was so much that we talked about in the next 3 days of budget. And the budget hasn't been put into place yet. This mm-hmm. was the beginning. So this was really the work sessions mm-hmm. and this kind of stabilized where we go in as a millage rate. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about how everything is going to be
allocated.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. So for budget, we talked about, can you tell us a little about the parks or?
So she wants some good news, I think.
I want good news.
So everybody loves a park story because I was like, oh my gosh, you guys, check out all the budget money that's going into District 1 in the parks. And I have to give our Parks and Rec Department so much credit for the work that they've done. And, you know, I have oftentimes criticized the sector plans that we have in the county. But one of the really good things about the sector plans we have out in District 1 is they required a certain amount of space be set aside for pocket parks. And then we, of course, have a larger investment for our regional parks. So, you know, just in our Parks and Rec part of our update, I was, you know, feeling a little bit like the other commissioners were going to throw things at me because we're getting our budget items, the Dr. Phillips ball fields. Final phase of funding is going to be done. The Shingle Creek Trail budget items are all approved. Lakeside Village Park, Horizon Waste Regional Park, 1A, they're going to be able to, you know, we're going to see really the infrastructure put in for more access there. Bentonshire Park, Horizon Rest Trail, Waterley Park, the Watermark Park. I mean, there was just...
This is good news.
Yes. And I will make sure to distill that into maybe a bullet point and mm-hmm. get it out. But the presentations came to us during budget mm-hmm. as slides and a sort of a breakout, really a spreadsheet of the way that the budgets are being allocated, and then slides that showed what the larger spending items were. And a lot of the slides were pictures of West Orange County. So I was like, this is so exciting. And it wasn't just parks, mm-hmm. fire and rescue. If anybody got a chance to watch their budget presentation, and I can't say enough about our Orange County Fire and Rescue mm-hmm. and how dedicated they are to making sure that residents here, whether they've been here for years and years and years, or they got here yesterday, have full access and the best care. And we have four new fire stations coming into District 1 at different times. Mm-hmm. And so they have a whole plan about the way that they are utilizing actually some temporary space while one is being built. And then, you know, they staff this one and then they make sure that this one's being staffed while they build this mm-hmm. one. So the whole plan makes sure that nobody out there, nobody in District 1 or in any corner of our county has any lapse in service. And it's so important because in District 1, especially, we have that combination of rural lands and we have rural enclaves mm-hmm. and then right next to them we have some more density and we have roads that are coming in mm-hmm. where because people are, you know, not used to driving mm-hmm. in certain areas with as many other cars, we're having more accidents. And mm-hmm. so really the need continues to grow with the population and we have to make sure that we're keeping up. And that Orange County Fire mm-hmm. and Rescue does an amazing job.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. That's good news, you guys. We'll try.
Yeah, I mean, budget's like really scary.
Yeah.
You go to budget, nobody wants to talk about balancing your checkbook, right? Like, it is a scary time. And local government, we're required. Mm-hmm. We have to balance. We don't get to carry a debt. And the departments, you know, really end up kind of queuing up the most important things. Mm-hmm. And the hope is that when this comes forward, that we're all in agreement. You know, and as your district commissioner, clearly the issues in District 1, I always try to make sure, is District 1 being remembered? Because we're not downtown Orlando. Is District 1's needs and services, you know, getting as much of the resource as, you know, other areas in the county? And I can assure you at the end of this budget session that that is the truth plus some. I felt really, really encouraged by the updates, not just from Fire and Rescue and Parks, but also our Sheriff's Department mm-hmm. And their investment in I would say some really important community outreach and education, some really great crime prevention programs, mm-hmm. and then educational and other trainings for the Sheriff's Department. And, you know, I came into office after the summer where George Floyd was mm-hmm. murdered on the street in front of residents, and the distrust level was so high, and people didn't understand, and I didn't understand, how do we continue to throw money at a system that's broken? And how do we continue to fund something that's hurting people? And so being able to really dig into that budget, that sheriff's budget, and talk to these men and women who've devoted their life to making sure that not only they're keeping their community safe, mm-hmm. but that they're building that trust and repairing that trust. And so one of the initiatives that they've invested in Orange County Sheriff's Office is, and with our budget approval, is the Behavioral Response Unit, mm-hmm. which is taking mental health clinicians and having them partner with the Sheriff's Department mm-hmm. On calls. And they're gonna continue investing in training for our call center mm-hmm. because that's actually where those things start. Mm-hmm. And if there's a mental health issue that has not been identified
right.
and law enforcement gets there and they don't know what they're walking into,
right.
that's sometimes the recipe for disaster.
Right.
So having a specialist when we know a specialist is needed is really critical, and we're getting more and more data back that it's really useful. So I thought it was a great update. I also, if you ever have any questions about some of their educational programs, we talked about their teen driving school, and I asked if we could get a husband driving school. You know, I got a couple chuckles out of it, but I know my husband, if he's watching this, isn't going to think that's funny. But it's a great program. And I think, you know, you get a discount from your insurance if you have a teenager that can go through the program. And anytime that they can connect and get a relationship with law enforcement, I actually think it really helps in their future as they move through our world and society to have had that experience. So I encourage you to look into that. If you want some information, just give us a shout, email us, and we can get you connected.
Absolutely. Okay, so now we're going to talk about vacancy. Can you give us a little bit of information about that?
The what? Say, I'm sorry.
Vacancy.
The rent stabilization
let's see.
We have so many notes. Poor thing. Listen, if you all have not met Riley, this girl walked into my life and then moving 300 miles per hour, she jumped on, no problem. Just like this. I'm like, wow, look at that. She's jumped right in. This is amazing. But there are all kinds of notes that I throw out there because my brain is like a fireworks sometimes. And then she's like,
yes, rental vacancy. Or we can also talk about American Rescue Plan.
Oh, okay. So
whichever one you want to pick.
Okay. So if we're talking about rent, the rent stabilization, rent control, rental crisis really has been a topic that we took up at the board last month mm-hmm. that we're going to be taking up again next week, and that we are continuing to look at opportunities really mm-hmm. during our budget to try to make sure that we're investing in things that support our Housing for All plan and that hopefully can stabilize what has been a crisis for some time. Rent prices jumped something between 25 and 29% mm-hmm. in the last year. And it doesn't matter where I go, Riley, and I know this is probably your young person out there, that everyone I talk to, either it's them or mm-hmm. someone they know, mm-hmm. has either been outpriced in where they're renting, or they've had to add extra roommates wherever they live, mm-hmm. or they are moving out of the area. And as somebody who loves this area and wants to keep everybody here
right.
and knows that we can make room if we figure this out, we've got to get to the bottom of it and try to figure out what we can do to help. I know there are limitations by local government. I don't have some illusion that we can wave a wand and make it better
right.
by, you know, a registry or by, you know, trying to force a hand. But I think what we have to do is to come at it from different angles. And I think three of those are coming up next week. Mm-hmm. One of them, and the one that has gotten the most attention, of course, is the rent freeze. Now, I want to be super clear about this because I think it's a lot of misconceptions. Rent control measures in other parts of the country cannot happen in the state of Florida because of Florida law. If we were to do anything in the rent control mm-hmm. ordinance world, there are a couple things that we have to do. One of those is it has to go on a ballot, which means that you decide. And the voters would ultimately get that decision. The other thing is it can't go more than a year. So even if we decide as a county commission that maybe this could be helpful, it is done in a year. And then we have to decide if that wasn't enough time, do we put it back on a ballot? And it's very expensive to do that. So those are really tough things to weigh out, whether or not the benefit is going to, you know, to overcome some of the obstacles. The other obstacles are we can't do any rent control on anything that's considered a luxury rental. And as we know out in District 1, there are many, many, many of our, you know, I think apartment complexes that at some point in my life would have been considered mid-range that are now considered luxury. And so the legislature never defined what luxury means after 1977 or 74.
No, 77.
77. Mm-hmm. And at that time, it was like $250 a month. So I think there's like maybe one apartment left in Orange County that's $50 a month. So
where is that? Right. To know where that
you don't want to live there. You don't want to live there. I wouldn't let you live there.
Yeah.
So once again, I think it gets to the point of the county, if we do move forward with a referendum, we have to do an interpretation of what that legislative intent was from the 70s.
Right.
So do we do an adjustment based on inflation and based on, you know, the cost of living for now and try to say, okay, you know, what was 200 and whatever dollars
and
then
now, what
is now $1,500 or $1,800? Or do we really read it, you know, letter for letter within the four corners of the document and say, no, let's just go with what it says then, because it actually uses the year in the statute. So those were unanswered questions. I think for me, like instead of falling down the rabbit hole of that only item, it was really important to do research on the other options.
Right.
And two of them, I believe, will be able to move across the finish line very quickly. One of those is a notice requirement that says if a landlord is raising the rent, and we can carve out special exceptions if there's something emergent, right? If they have to do some emergent repair or there's something emergent that's going on. But if they're doing a dramatic raise in rent, that there needs to be a certain amount of notice, a 60-day notice. And it's modeled off of other areas that have done it and been successful without challenge. And the feeling in the affordable housing market is that that wouldn't necessarily impair companies from coming in and building more housing or being able to invest in our workforce housing here in Central Florida. The other one is the tenant's bill of rights. It's really important that we look at the things that people are feeling very powerless about. And we had the opportunity to meet with the Legal Aid Society and talk to them about how many ways they're assisting people. And, you know, I encourage you, if you're in this position of, you know, you got something in your door and it says that your rent's going up, you know, 100% in the next 10 days. And you think, can they do this?
Right.
Is this legal? Don't be afraid to reach out to the Legal Aid Society, the Orange County Bar Association. They do a really wonderful job that you don't have to worry about anything that's going to cost you money by reaching out to them, because what they do is a public service, and they want to make sure that you're
informed.
Getting the full scope of information. I think there's a lot of intimidation people have about calling a lawyer because they think they're going to have to pay for that time.
Right.
No, make the phone call. We can get the information out about Legal Aid Society, and maybe we can even at some point at a different one of these talk about our chance to talk to them at length.
That'd be fun. Okay. And then the last thing, American Rescue Plan.
American Rescue Plan. Yeah, so it was part of the budget update.
Okay.
And as people recall, the federal government passed the American Rescue Plan and implemented payments in two stages. And the first stage was really put into effect in our last budget cycle. And the second one will go into this budget cycle. Much of the funds are identified as being revenue replacement. So things that were affected by either having to delay the project or because the revenue stream changed during COVID, the American Rescue Funds have the ability to make up the difference. Having gotten the updates about what's going on in our revenue, I actually think there's so much to be optimistic about as far as is the county's resources and, you know, I think there was a lot of concern because we rely so heavily on tax dollars from our tourism industry. And I think that we need to continue to look for a stable tax base. And I think we need to continue to really look for innovative jobs and innovative creation of other economic revenue center. Mm-hmm. That being said, our TDT, which is our tourist tax dollars, have rebounded in a very healthy way. The biggest problem with that is it can only be used in a very narrow sense. And that, once again, that's the state. You know, if you are involved speaking to your state representative, I would encourage you to ask, you know, is there any opportunity to loosen up what we use our tourist tax dollars for? Because infrastructure items, mm-hmm. right. we're not permitted at this stage in the game.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it's down to the penny, right? So there's, you know, on so much of it is broken out for use in promotion.
Okay.
So basically saying, you know, we're raising the money from tourism. It goes back into tourism. I don't have a problem with that being, you know, part of the equation. But I think that if your area, and our area is one of these, doesn't right now, we don't need a new convention center. We don't need a new stadium, but we do have a lot of infrastructure needs, and we do have a lot of things that I think would make our tourists very happy,
right?
If we were able to use some flexibility. So I can still see a nexus in tourism and wanting to visit here by utilizing those dollars that way, but we just don't have the flexibility because the statute is so limited and basically narrowly says it has to go back into promotion for tourism.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, last year during a legislative session, Representative Anna Escamani moved forward with what was going to be a very, a repealer that would allow some more flexibility so that we could look at utilizing part of that funding for transportation needs. And I can't think of a actually more appropriate use for tourism dollars, you know, than being able to move our tourists around. Right. And there was just no appetite for it at the state level.
Hmm. Something you guys got to ask for.
Yeah. Listen, ask the hard questions. Now's the time to do it. It's election season.
Yeah.
Like I am on the canvassing board at the Supervisor of Elections office. So I am not weighing in on either side of anything. And I really appreciate being able to take a nonpartisan role here. But I will tell you, it is the time to ask the tough questions. And you need to think about not the red, the blue, not the R, the D. You need to think about the issues that are important to you. Right. And ask your representative about where they stand.
Right.
And, you know, and I mean this, if you're a teacher, if you're a firefighter, if you are a, just a regular Floridian, who wants to make sure that Florida continues to be a place that is attractive to everybody to visit or live, or companies that want to bring their business here. We've got to figure out what's going on in Tallahassee because it is not functional, and it's very, you know, it's a very scary thing that every single legislative session, I worry about what's coming out. And now I look back on some of those and my worry was just about how much funding our teachers were going to get. And now my worry is, are they going to arrest our teachers for talking about things that they don't think they should be talking about? And that's a really scary evolution of the overreach from Tallahassee into our classrooms. Our teachers have to be certified. They're certified teachers. Why aren't we letting them teach?
Right.
Why are we censoring them? It's really scary.
Yeah. Well, was there anything else you had?
I'll just keep on.
Was there anything else?
Let me turn it on you. Okay. How's it going? Tell us about your first few weeks and how, what do you think?
So, D1, I love you all already. You guys have been so amazing. I've already gotten a lot of constituent concerns. You know, we're getting back to you day by day. And I've already gotten a lot of wins. You know, people say, oh, well, they're actually coming out this week to talk or to fix something or, you know, so it's really exciting to see how this office influences and connects with you all. So I'm just so happy to serve you all. So
I'm so happy you're here.
Yeah. It's been busy though, but I really like it. I thought last week was a month ago.
She said that BCC was last week. I said, yeah, that's why we didn't get a chance to do this, office hours last week, because we had BCC and moved right into our budget session. So, and you know, it made me feel really bad because I had, you know, a conversation with a constituent that was like, you're ignoring me. And I'm like,
we're
not going to believe this.
We're not ignoring you.
But I can't go into that budget session and answer my phone like that. You wouldn't want me to do it that way. You want me to keep an eye on it. So I promise if we haven't responded, we will get there. Mm-hmm. If there is something that's happening in your neighborhood, in your area that Public Works can help with, mm-hmm. call 311 and go ahead and file a report that way. And then you can always follow up with us also. But that at least creates a timeline because it's an immediate trigger for a case. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if there's a development case coming that you're concerned about, keep an eye out for our newsletter. We make sure to publish all of that and just reach out with any questions you have.
Mm-hmm. NicoleWilson.org.
Yes, or email the district1 mm-hmm. at OCFL.net.
Yeah.
I get all singled up in it.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us for virtual office hours today. And we will see you all next week.
Thank you.
Bye.